according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. We've been going through, since the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he goes up the mountain, he sits down, teaches, extended period of teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. We've been going through this in our adult Sunday school at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and we started a couple of weeks ago with the Beatitudes, this text today. And as a reminder from the end of the last chapter, there's all kinds of people gathered with Jesus. The crowd is full of all sorts of people from all sorts of places from throughout the region who have been with him. And as they gather around, he sits down to teach them. And he uses this word, blessed, a lot. So I asked the Sunday school class, and I'm going to ask you, and you're okay, you're allowed to answer. Okay? If you needed the permission. I hope you would have anyway, but just so you know. Who is called blessed? Who do we look at and call blessed? Yeah, maybe ourselves. Somebody said, "I heard everyone." I heard some repetitions of these Beatitudes. I think also of anybody use Twitter or Instagram? Some of you maybe. There's like you'll see hashtag blessed a lot. Or I wonder, we often use the word when something really good happens to somebody, like something maybe we wish would happen to us. Oh, that person's so blessed, right? Somebody who has a lot, or, you know, I think of, right, like we would be more likely to attribute the word blessed to somebody who receives word that they don't have cancer than somebody who receives word that they do have cancer. Is that true? Yeah, we would be more likely to attribute the term blessed to somebody who is happy and healthy and has seemed to have gotten what they want than somebody who is unhealthy, miserable, and doesn't have what they want. True? Yeah. So who do we call blessed, right? Like, I mean, it's this mixed bag, and yes, like us and everybody. And I wonder if looking at what the word blessed means can help us out. So here's a little kind of example. I think blessed means what I was talking to the kids about. You are loved. You are seen. God loves you. God sees you. God is with you. It means God is doing something in your life for your benefit, right? And I think this word also, it's likely the Hebrew word asherah, translated into Greek. It's used in the beginning of Psalm 1. Here's your kind of language. I think it also means like people who we envy, which falls in line with that usage of blessed, or like hashtag blessed, right? Somebody who seems to have it all, they're blessed, and we kind of want to be like them, right? Like, I want to be blessed too. So who does Jesus call blessed? The poor in spirit, the meek, the people who are persecuted when they're searching after righteousness, the people who mourn, They're the ones who are enviable. I think, at the very least, Jesus is saying, hey, God loves you and sees you too. And at the very next step, Jesus is saying, hey, these are the people that God is for. These are the people that we look up to. You know, the ones you usually look down on? They're blessed and loved by God and seen by God. Theirs is the kingdom of God. They will be called children of their heavenly Father. And Jesus tells this and shows this. So when we were talking about it in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, Dick Davis asked a great question. He goes, so if I'm like one of these groups that Jesus is calling blessed, I'm somebody who's like hungry and down and out and on the margins. I'm somebody that people look down on. And Jesus says, I'm blessed. What good does it do me? And he said, like, maybe there's some like comfort that God sees you and loves you and knows you. But if it's just like words, if there's not power to them, it probably feels like lip service. But Jesus has already shown what it means that these people are blessed. In fact, in those same very last verses of chapter 4 that lead right into this, when all these people from all these places are coming to them, Jesus is healing the ones who are sick. Jesus is welcoming and eating with the people who are hungry and the ones who are looked down upon. He's putting it into action now, and he will continue to do so throughout his life and ministry. And church, he will continue to do so among us even today. Because if it is just words, it's just lip service. If it's not paired with an understanding of God that that we see in Micah, you know, what did I do to you? I brought you out of bondage. I set you free. I gave you life. If God is that God, then that God being with you, loving you, seeing you, that means something, my friends. This God will set you free. This God being with you means that you will be moved forward, that you are loved, that there is life on the other side of this, that this kingdom into which you are coming is beautiful. And life and love in itself. What does it look like then for us to be blessed? What does it look like to show somebody that they are blessed, that God sees them, God loves them, and that this God is a God who helps them, who is about bringing them more abundant life, who frees them when they are bound up? Well, it looks like welcoming people. It looks like helping teach people that Jesus loves them by showing them and by telling them and sharing stories. It looks like, I think it looks like this. It looks like when someone walks through the door and is just hungry, we feed them. And if they walk right back out and don't stay for worship, that's okay. It looks like if somebody comes in and wants a cup of coffee, there's no prerequisite to that cup of coffee because there's no prerequisite to God's grace, friends. It is a free gift given to us, and we do live in response to it. And do we invite somebody who's hungry for bread or thirsty for water to come to the table and have bread of life that will satisfy every hunger, and to drink from the water of life from which they will never be thirsty again? Of course we invite them to do that. But we also give them food and drink. Otherwise, it's just lip service. God's word is meaningful, it's impactful, it's powerful. It does something. It sets us free. It gives us life. It's important for how we treat people. You know, I wonder if we could say as a community of faith, as the body of Christ, do the people who come here and encounter us here, do they leave feeling blessed and seen and loved by God? And that is our guide and our measure. When we talk about, like, is our church successful? Sometimes we talk about like dollars or budgets or things that we talk about at our annual meeting. But also it's this, it's Do we look and sound like Jesus? Do people come and encounter the love of Christ, even if they only came by and popped their head in and walked right back in? Is what they see, does it look like Jesus? Do they hear the good news? Do they feel the grace and love of God? Because did God require you to do something before giving you his grace? Before sending Jesus to save the whole world, did you have to do something? Did you have to stay or sit or listen or behave in a certain way? No, 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 no. God does not require something of us to earn God's grace. God freely gives it, but God does require something of us in response to that grace. And that is that we are blessed not for an end of itself, but to be a blessing. To help others know that they are blessed and seen and loved by God too. We are responding to God's grace with love of God and neighbor. We act justly, we love mercy, we walk humbly with our God. That's what God requires of us. Not before we have God's grace, but because we have God's grace. Well, this Super Bowl Sunday, when we think about feeding hungry people, we don't have to require them to prove that they're hungry or that they're deserving of the food. We give them something to eat. When we care for those we might call least, the ones who are oppressed or marginalized, the ones that seem weak or meek, or the ones who are sad and mourning and often not the ones that we are envious of, because when we care for those, we all benefit and grow. We all experience more life. February, we often think of as Black History Month, right? And there's a school scholarship called Womanism, or a Womanist Thought, which is African American women. And they have this metaphor that I think is so beautiful that they remind us of. If we want a plant to grow, where do we water it? Up top of on the leaves?
The roots.
At the roots, right? And when the roots get water, do just the roots benefit? No, the whole plant. Do you want to know the best insurance policy to make sure there is always food on your table? Make sure there's always food on everyone's table. Because if we're taking care of the most hungry, and everybody has food, you have food too. You don't know how to make sure that you always have a place to call home? Make sure everyone does. We'll hear Jesus' words in a couple of weeks about give to everyone who begs of you. You don't know how you can afford to give to everyone who begs of you? Yeah, win the lottery. Also, make sure there are less people begging of you. How do you do that? You take care of them. You show them and tell them that they are blessed and loved by God. Friends, what does it look like to follow Jesus, to be conformed to Christ? It looks like being peacemakers, being merciful. It includes meeting hostile resistance and persecution when we're working out justice and righteousness. It means mourning with those who mourn, which we don't often think of as like, that's the position I want to be in. Grief and grieving. But God sees them and loves them, and we are called to do the same. We are given God's grace so that we can do the same. And so that when we mess up, and when we can't, and when we do do something for selfish ambition, like the psalmist warns against, we know that we are forgiven. And God moves us into new life. Things that inhibit life, hunger, world hunger, and people being hungry in our community, in our country, that's a big problem. These are big and often overwhelming. And we go, where in the world could I possibly start? Well, hear the words of God from the prophet Micah. To people who were once again in wilderness, God gives them another message. When they're not sure how to tackle what's in front of them, when they don't know what the path looks like, they're not sure what to do next, when they're faced with problems that are overwhelming, God speaks to God's people and says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy and kindness, to walk humbly with your God. And this is an act of worship, right? It's preceded by, like, do we need to bring these giant offerings? What does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, to be a peacemaker, to mourn with the ones who mourn, to pursue justice and righteousness, to persevere when it's tough, to love even when it's at a cost to you, even when it doesn't make sense and seems like foolishness. For the cross is foolishness, that God would give God's only Son, that God would give God's own life, that we might have life, is foolishness. That the meek would inherit the earth is foolishness. God uses what we call weak and what we deem foolish to show us what is truly wise. And what does God require of us in response to this gift of life and love and grace? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. Invited to rise in body or spirit, and we sing our hymn of the day, Blessed Are They. It's number 764 in the Blue With One Voice hymnal. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 4, and there's a page turn in there. It's a long song. That's why we're only singing three verses.